This conference is being recorded.
This is PWTorch.com editor Wade Keller, along with Torch columnist Bruce Mitchell, and this is a special edition of the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show for Tuesday, October 27th, covering the breaking major news regarding Hulk Hogan signing with TNA, Eric Bischoff now officially working with TNA, and the strong possibility that the next story to break is going to be a new TNA program or the move of TNA Impact to Monday night with at least part of it head-to-head with Raw. That part is still being confirmed. PW Torch did, or I did on PW Torch earlier, break the news that TNA officials would be meeting with Spike TV in New York tomorrow for what is said to be a major meeting. So it sounds like whatever might happen regarding TNA programming has not officially been finalized at this point. Hulk Hogan, Bruce, was just on Larry King Live. I want to start with that aspect of the story only because it's fresh in our minds and it was so predictable and largely irrelevant that we might forget to talk about it if we don't get it out of the way up front. So your quick thoughts, first of all, on the way that Hulk Hogan did not talk much about TNA on Larry King Live. What does that tell you, if anything?
Well, I mean, it's what I expected. Larry King's going to be interested in the reality TV show part of Hulk Hogan's life, which is the phony family and the phony problems that they have and the phony positive nature of Hulk Hogan and all that kind of thing. And, I mean, I loved it. I mean, there was Hogan in pink. I mean, he didn't miss a trick. There he is.
I know. I thought the same thing.
I was, like, laughing. I mean,
pink shirt, really, pink, what do they call it? Handkerchief on the head.
For Women's Breast Awareness Month. And that was, you know, and that's an important thing. And there's, you know, it's being supported all across.
Also, no, this is not to mock breast cancer awareness. It's affected me and my family. What it is to mock is the fact that Hogan would not let that slip by without a possibility to be dressed in more pink than anybody else I've seen out there.
Right, get himself over more. And he was, Larry King is the perfect interviewer for Hulk Hogan on these kind of things. Larry King is, you know, shallow reading his questions and wants to like the celebrity that he's interviewing, and he's not going to go too far, even though there's some things in it. And, you know, Hogan mostly talked about the suicide attempt, and I just think it's so Hulk Hogan-like and so convenient. And I'm not doubting this story for a second that Hulk Hogan, contemplated suicide, and the most famous person he was associated at the time happened to call him up out of the blue, and who had a direct link to the glory days of his past in WrestleMania 1, and that was Muhammad Ali's daughter, who he starred with on American Gladiators, and somehow, without her even realizing it, talked him out of committing suicide. And what a compelling story and what a hook that is for a book. But as I said, I certainly would never, doubt the Hulkster. So that was kind of fun. And like I said,
and you know what, Bruce, I will say this.
Yeah.
I am open-minded to the possibility that Hulk didn't decide, I'm going to make up that I contemplated suicide and I'm going to market it as a centerpiece of my book. I actually believe Hulk probably had that thought cross his mind legitimately, and I don't know how serious he was about it, but when you do have your kid in jail and in your ex-wife dating somebody who went to school with your kids and your body is breaking down and you've got surgeries and you might lose everything that you worked your life for and you're trying to find the next, and you're so hung up on fame and that's what fuels your days, I think it's possible. I'm very open to the possibility. He actually contemplated suicide. But let me make this point. But the idea that if he did contemplate suicide, he would somehow turn it into a way to get himself on television and market himself and get the quotes in, you know, Us Weekly and all that. I mean, that's pure Hulk Hogan. You know, it's a larger, bigger version of wearing all pink instead of just a pink, you know, armband. So anyway.
And, you know, the return to his roots of, you know, saying his prayers and taking his vitamins and you know, hanging and banging and all that. I mean, he's always wanting to go back to where he was because Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan. I mean, that's, you know, one thing I really do, there's a lot that I don't like about Hulk Hogan, but one thing I do sort of admire about him is he has a clear vision of what he's marketing, and he hammers that, and that's, you know, as, you know, I admire that from a business standpoint, and also kind of admire it from, I think he's just a person at a certain level, and as how he sees things, and life is, you know, Christianity is a magic talisman that if you embrace it, then things will start going well for you. And there are people in this world that like that. It's easier to be that way when you have a lot of money, but and a lot of fame, and can, you know, and good at marketing yourself. But it's always kind of interesting to hear that. And also, it's a way, like I said, it's another way, as many people do, to market themselves. But it was what I figured. I mean, I was wondering whether they'd get the mention in a TNA. But I think that was probably done as a favor to Hogan by Larry King. And also, it's interesting, Hogan's going to wrestle again. And of course, Larry does have the natural reaction of people, which is, you've been around, you're an old guy.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, there's a lot going on with this story. And one of the things about this story is, you know, TNA and Dixie Carter and Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan were all talking a few months ago. And it didn't take place because I think TNA's always been the fallback position. And Hogan got the idea. Never been to Australia. Australia has a wrestling tradition. And the last time that he almost went there, with WWE, and he was one of the keys in them in WWE doing really well in Australia because they had never gone during the height of Hulkamania. He'd never gone during WCW days. It was virgin territory, and they'd never seen him wrestle. And so the idea was get a tour together, run it yourself, and make money there. And he even talked of moving to Australia.
Well, that was hilarious too. As soon as he's about, you know, tickets are about to go on sale, he wants Australians to know he loves their country so much he's thinking of moving there.
Yeah, and he did like this tremendous like nutty YouTube video about it. And I'm sure that was a point was, here's Australia where there's no, with this huge population that wants entertainment, and WWE can only come once a year, and they do well when they come down there, so obviously they want to see Hulk Hogan. And one of the things you can kind of tell lately, and he even kind of said that too, is he wanted to get back to, you know, doing things positive. What's more positive than being Hulk Hogan? And I'm paraphrasing it, but Hogan has said that, you know, WWE didn't understand how to market him. They wanted to just bring him in and have him as a special feature when the people wanted Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
They want Hulk Hogan all the time. And that's always his natural inclination because that's what – there's certain acts in anything where they're going to if they're going to work, they're going to suck up all the air in the room. And they've been like that. They've been those kind of acts in wrestling. You don't – you know, Hulk Hogan doesn't play support. Hulk Hogan plays lead. And, you know, there's music acts like that. There's actors like that that even as they're going down the cycle of fame, it doesn't pay to have them – Some actors can recreate themselves and kind of play, you know, like William Shatner kind of did. He recreated himself as kind of self-mocking, you know, he's in on his own joke, and actually probably did better financially than he ever did before. But Hulk Hogan's not going to be like that. And he's tried to reinvent himself a few times, and he's going to be the center of whatever universe that he's in. That's how he knows it. That's what he does, and that's how he surrounds himself with people. Like I said, it's part of clearly marketing who he is. So it's real. It says to me that, and we kind of heard this too, the Australian deal wasn't going that well, because if it was going well, what I mean by that is the ticket sales aren't up to the expectations of Bischoff and Hogan and the promoters that are putting the money up for it, because, you know, they signed Flair to a 3-year deal. If they're going to do 3 years of touring in Australia, that would have meant that they were up and running, and this was a real promotion in Australia that was going to grow and make everybody a lot of money. Because Hogan, the one thing with Hogan has been, he's held off on putting his own drawing power on the line until he finally had to in Memphis, and it did not work well in Memphis. And that was I think that's a real turning point. He made a mistake there because he showed Vince McMahon that he's not, I think in Vince McMahon's eyes, that proved that Hogan by himself was not a threat to him. And I think also with McMahon and WWE, that meant that Hogan wasn't worth all the trouble that bringing in Hulk Hogan was. And there's that love-hate relationship, and you've got the Ric Flair retirement, which was, you know, which had a message to Hulk Hogan in it and all that. And this kind of says that Hogan cozying up to TNA that time didn't get Vince to bite. Vince hasn't bitten since at all in the last few years with Hulk Hogan. And if the Australia thing wants to go, he's running out of options. So where can you get one last payday? Where can you get one last place to be Hulk Hogan again? And that's TNA. And Dixie Carter's willing to give him the things that he would want to do, he'd want to have creatively.
They're willing to use each other to get what they want. You know, I don't know that we have to necessarily look at Dixie as a victim here.
We'll see.
She might be, but I'm saying we don't necessarily have to look at that because it seems she might come out of this with what she, the bare minimum of what she needs to say it was worth it in the end, depending on, you know, how long of a commitment it is for Hogan. And, you know, she might even feel burned by Hogan and still have come out with something that makes TNA stronger and more able to move to that next level. And that's a big thing. I think with what you said about Hogan and Vince McMahon, it's very true. And I think it's gotten to the point now that Hogan can not be part of WrestleMania 25 and people don't think it's a big deal.
Right.
You know, it was a topic of the day, or, you know, I wonder if Hogan will be there. You know, but it wasn't like, how can Hulk not be on WrestleMania 25? Like, that wasn't a, you know, but 10 years ago, you would have thought, if there's a WrestleMania 25 and Hogan's, you know, WWE's out of business, he's got to be on it. And it's just not a concern anymore to people. They don't.
Yeah, I think that was a real turning point, too. I mean, that was a real milestone that they kind of showed both of them, you know, that people, that life went on. And it wasn't like, how could you do this? You know, how could you have this? And I think the games have been played, all the gamesmanship's been done on Hogan's side through Bubba the Love Sponge and the places that he does that. And, you know, it's, he needs something new to get up and running. And, you know, Brooks' TV show, that's going to run for whatever. But I think also when the family split apart, I think that people would accept, kind of reminds me of Howard Stern. Howard Stern could be as, it could be as vulgar as he was and as, you know, as risque as he was, as long as he had his wife at home, and he seemed like a family guy who wouldn't do those things. It was like there was that dichotomy people kind of hang their hat on. And then the marriage broke apart, and the illusion kind of faded. And it's the same thing with Hogan, in that, you know, Stern has his huge following. I'm not saying he doesn't, and most of them, you know, the males that listen to that. But as far as being mainstream, that was going to be kind of the end of it. And so, you know, when he broke up with his wife. And the reality show, it was a weird family, but you can kind of sit, they were campy, and you kind of sit back and laugh at them and kind of like them, too, a little bit, if you hadn't been. And, you know, if you didn't know the reality of it. But once the family really did break apart, and the kind of the sordidness of what happened with Nick and the accident with John Graziano, and then Linda getting out of control getting more and more out of control from the fame that she had gotten from that show, it wasn't so pleasant anymore. And so I think Hogan's smart, and, you know, the Brooke thing's going to run its course, and he's trying to help his daughter, but I think as goofy as the idea of a wrestling idol reality show was, or it's something different away from the family, or, you know, the odd couple of Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair on some reality show, which is kind of an idea that's kind of going around too. Flair wanted to have his own reality show, the odd couple of him and his son, but you can't have, you know, Ric Flair, the crazy black bachelor playboy father, and I'm sorry to say it this way, but Reed and his son Reed, the heroin addict. That doesn't work for a reality show.
No.
Too much reality.
And Broadcasting and Cable Magazine had the story on, maybe, you know, it was sort of thrown out there by the writer as, you know, just grabbing one idea out of a hat. Maybe Hulk could do a show based on The Ultimate Fighter, but with wrestlers. And, you know, now when you see that that's what Hogan talked about on Larry King, I mean, that story got fed to that writer. That's one of the things that Bischoff and Hogan are probably eyeing. That's probably one of the main things that Bischoff will be involved in. And we can talk about him. That's a whole separate aspect of the story, or another sidebar aspect of the story. But I think Hogan mentioning it on Larry King Live, you know, an American Idol version of it, you know, leave it to Hogan to not say an Ultimate Fighter version of it. He's smart enough to go higher, you know, to say, I want to do the pro wrestling version of American Idol, not the pro wrestling version of the Ultimate Fighter, which ironically is a reality or a MMA version of WWE's Tough Enough. So,
right, but yeah, you go to the biggest one. I mean, you compare yourself to the biggest thing. And I think you learn that from Vince McMahon. I mean, Vince McMahon used to, you know, compare himself instead of compare himself to pro wrestling promotions, he compare himself to Walt Disney, and that's what they still do, and that's
And Vince didn't call his wrestlers; they were superstars. The guy in the opening match was a superstar. You know, once you get hired by WWE, you're a superstar. I mean, you always use words that aim higher. You don't aim low.
Right. The sports entertainment thing is this millennium's version of that. So, as annoying as it is.
Okay, so let's we've psychoanalyzed Hogan based on a lot of evidence and a real pattern in his life. Let's talk about what this, the range of possibilities of what this means to TNA. They're going into New York tomorrow with a major meeting with Spike TV in New York. There are at least rumblings, we'll put it that way, that what's being discussed is a head-to-head show with Raw on Monday night, something that Jerry Jarrett, Jeff Jarrett, from the beginnings of the founding of TNA, they wanted to do that. There's a romanticism, a fantasy, an obsession almost with going back to that excitement of head-to-head and thinking that that in and of itself might bring them to the next level as it did WCW. So, one question to you, and just so we stay sort of focused, would Hulk Hogan signing with TNA to be a consistent on-air authority figure or character of some kind, given also the talent that they have and the potential signing of Ric Flair and anyone else on this Australian tour as a free agent, does TNA have the talent with this big if it was booked well, to compete in a respectable manner with that first hour of Raw head-to-head on Monday night?
Well, I like to think of it as the whole package. I mean, the whole package that TNA brings to Monday nights. The talent is the best part. They've got talent. I don't think they have the talent that WCW had when they came to Nitro, or that when the Monday Night Wars are going on. In fact, I know they don't. But that's the best part of what they have. But you can't just turn around and go, for a company that spent 7 years and has not been booked well in any part of that 7 years, or effectively, and that's the same thing, you can't just say if it's booked well. I mean, if it's booked well, I think anybody in the two with talent and
well, what I'm trying to say is, do they have the talent under the best of circumstances to compete? Because if the answer is no, then the answer regarding the reality is an easy no. You know, what I'm saying is, let's hit each layer of possibilities. In a perfectly booked world, is the talent there? If the answer is no, there's no need to even discuss it further. If the answer is maybe or yes,
there's definitely need.
Then it comes down to the booking.
No, there's definitely need to. The talent's in place. The network is enough.
Mm-hmm.
To be there. Production values are okay. You know, there's enough. But, I mean, Hulk Hogan sucks the oxygen out of it. I mean, I think he's going to be wanting to be the end-all, be-all of things. I mean, I can't imagine. If he can wrestle at all on this Australian tour, if he can wrestle at all, then you won't see him wrestling every week on television, but you'll see him be a major star, and he knows the old ways of having everybody talk about him, you know, ballyhooing his return, building it up, and then ballyhooing. If he can have a match, here's what I would guess, that AJ Styles faces Kurt Angle, who either ignores his babyface turn or turns back heel, and gets beaten by Kurt Angle for the title. Then Hogan and Hulkamania challenges Kurt Angle, the Olympic gold medalist, evil world champion, and Hogan wins. So that gives you a three month program of Hulk Hogan. And then I would see either Ric Flair in the next 3 month program or Matt Morgan. I mean, you can go through this list of people who are benefiting from this. Matt Morgan is going to benefit. He is right out of the Hulk Hogan, what Hulk Hogan would want to either compete with or be his protege or would see as the next. You know, it's the next thing in wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right out of it. Whether he's right or wrong, that's there. I mean, I think that the booking might change for the better in certain ways, and that there would be a focus that it would build towards a pay-per-view match, and it would be a build towards a big match. If Hulk Hogan's going to wrestle, if he doesn't wrestle and he's on TV a lot, then I don't buy that he's the type that's an authority figure the way, you know, Dixie Carter thinking that he's like their Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's real tough. You know, one of the things that's really intriguing about this, though, Wade, this is quite the reunion. Think about it. This is the reunion of a lot of the major principles of WCW when it really hit the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
About around the time of when Russo cut that promo on Hulk Hogan, but you've got Hulk Hogan, you've got Eric Bischoff, you've got Vince Russo, you've got
Kevin Nash,
Mike Tenay,
Jeremy Borash, and you know who I think is the number one cancer in all this who never gets talked about? Dave Penzer.
You got Dave Penzer. You know, you're laughing, but you've got Jeff Jarrett who's out there.
Oh, he'll rear his head at some point in here too.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Jeff Jarrett who's out there. That's a lot of some of the. I mean,
yeah.
Jeremy Borash and Dave Penns are maybe not quite as much, but the rest of those people, they.
I was joking, but I just think TNA needs to make sure that Dave Penzer is not the ring announcer when they go Monday nights on Raw. You know, they need to get a fresh, hip voice that doesn't just sound like WCW Thunder. You know, I mean, it's nothing personal with Penzer. Because I'm not sitting here wishing for somebody's job. But I mean, in a objective world, the guy who ring announced WCW and Thunder, unless he's phenomenal and Dave Penzer is serviceable and decent at ring announcing, he shouldn't be the voice of the new era.
Well, you know, that's really funny because 7 years ago they thought that too. So they hired Dave Penzer anyway, and they just kept him off the air. Now you laugh about that, and you just hear his voice because he reminded people too much of WCW.
I know.
But his voice didn't remind anybody of WCW. And now, as stupid as that all sounds, it's Vince McMahon's theory too, because now he keeps his ring announcers off camera.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason. So yeah, I mean that's pretty funny to hear that. But no, I mean you've got of some interesting characters. One of the things that's interesting to me too is the idea that Vince Russo has already said that, you know, Vince Russo stays out of our way, he'll be okay, and that Vince Russo is coming, is going to New York, and the reports are, and who knows, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of spinning going on, but the reports are that Russo is comfortable with this.
Well, that's what I reported first.
Yeah, you reported, and it's like...
I haven't seen it elsewhere. I'm not saying it's not elsewhere. I'd love to see it elsewhere, because that would further confirm it, but, yeah, I mean, my understanding is Russo's not in a panic. He's aware of it and was made aware of it and is seeing this as an extension of his stay and an opportunity to be part of something moving to the next level. I'm somewhat suspicious of that, but you know, I'm suspicious of his. If I were him, I would not have quite the faith that Hogan's not going to stab him in the back that he does, apparently.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If this is a short-term thing, and TNA uses it, gets Spike TV up and running for them on Monday nights, and then Russo just shuts his mouth, lets everything go through, and then Hulk Hogan goes on to whatever his next project is and gets his burst of publicity, then I can see Russo kind of being okay. But Russo shouldn't be okay under any circumstances, but this is a strange place. But I could also see if Hogan likes it and staying there, if he likes it and everything's okay, then Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara are not long for this world.
Yeah.
You know, as far as wrestling booking in TNA goes. Now, here's another thing about it though. Goes to Spike TV, they compete against Vince McMahon, and I mean, I would suspect Hulk Hogan wrestling.
I know where you're going.
Hulk Hogan wrestling on pay per view the first time is going to raise their buy rates because their buy rates are so low anyway. Just out of curiosity, I think the first time is going to, you know, if their record is 50,000, then I see Hogan breaking it, you know, in some way, shape, or form, 60,000 or something. And but if they're getting their ass kicked, which is a very strong possibility, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting their ass kicked. This is not, they already had a real rating, and then they move it to Monday night, and they have a cast of wrestlers that most fans know and care about besides Hulk Hogan, and let's say Ric Flair and Sting and a few of the, you know.
Yeah, throw him in the mix, by the way, when you're talking about the old gang getting back together.
Yeah, and Sting. Yeah, Sting was a part of all that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a real different time, and I'm not convinced that people – I think there are people that have a certain nostalgia for Hulk Hogan and see him as a star of a certain era, like they see Mr. T as a star. I think of Hulk Hogan and Mr. T from WrestleMania 1. But I don't know that people are going to watch a Mr. T TV show, and I don't know that people are going to pay to see Hulk Hogan wrestle and at the age of 56 at this point in time. And so, I mean, I don't know, or watch him regularly on television as part of a wrestling show. So – if they get their ass kicked, I see Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan, not Ric Flair, but Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan, and Jason Hervey with a backdoor out, that we did this for something and we're moving on to our next project, and then Spike TV and Spike TV and TNA are there. But TNA could benefit from that because they get the Monday night slot, and instead of doing 1.1s, they're doing, let's say, 1.7s. Then TNA would be happy with that. I mean, not TNA.
And so would Spike. You know, I think Spike does not want to get embarrassed going head-to-head with Raw because they used to have Raw.
Yeah.
And they're jilted. They're, you know, the jilted lover in a sense when Raw went back to USA Network. But they would love to have a, quote, homegrown company come up and compete with WWE. But they do not need to beat them like Nitro did in week, you know, the first head-to-head week. That's not what Spike needs. Spike's expectations are lower. That said, they don't want to go head-to-head and have Raw do a 3.6 and they do a 0.8. You know, but I think they'll be happy with a 1.7 versus a 3.0. You know, I think they look at that as, you know, part of a 4-year plan.
I think in the beginning that would keep Hogan around for a while. But you know, and
Hogan has every excuse in the world for Impact or whatever it's called, TNA not defeating Raw the first week like Nitro did. I mean, it's just you don't have the Turner machine behind him. Spike is a much smaller network, and even though they moved from TBS to TNT, you know that. And I remember Kevin Sullivan telling me after the first Nitro, it's going to take us 6 to 8 months for Nitro to compete with Raw. This was after the first Nitro, you know. But the ratings weren't in yet. He's like, it's going to take 6 to 8 months because people don't know where TNT is on cable dial, blah, blah, blah. It's like, they found him right away. So to me, as much as it matters whether you're on a strong network or not, if you're in the top 100 channels, you know, if you're not, you know, channel 170, you've got a chance if you do things right to compete right out of the gate.
It's not Spike, although, you've got that chance. It's, in 2009, are they able to show that they have a package that attracts today's wrestling fans, that has a stronger brand loyalty to WWE than anybody's had to a national promotion? Today's wrestling fans, what they are of that. And now, can you get people to sample? Maybe so, particularly if they're going 8 to 10 and you've got that first hour, and they do a good
And that's
job.
What they've always talked about. They always said that they would start an hour before Raw, not try to compete with the last hour, and start at that, you know, start at that time slot. So there'd be a 1 hour overlap. There would be a 3 hours of rest, you know, 3 hours straight of wrestling with 1 hour head to head.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's really interesting. But the other thing is I also just think, you know, Nitro came along at the right time in history. And Raw was a different thing, and there wasn't the history that we've already seen. And I just always think about the thing about the Beatles that Paul McCartney said one time, you cannot, about the reunion, that never took place. And,
and
when he was not wanting to have the reunion, and he just said, you know, you can't reheat a souffle.
Yep.
And that's all the elements that were there that made the magic.
Well, that,
they're not.
That's my question is, let's talk about this, because the person, yes, Hogan was a big part of it, but other things were factored in. Obviously, Hall and Nash were a big deal, but Nitro beat Raw the first week without Hall and Nash. You know, people forget Hall and Nash, you know, extended, gave Nitro, you know, turbocharged Nitro, I guess would be the way to put it, in the whole NWO concept with Hogan turning heel, turbocharged it even more. But Nitro was doing pretty well before that big jump. The question is what made Nitro work, in great part, was Eric Bischoff coming up with the, you know, the look, the feel, the attitude. I mean, he was attitude, you know, in his announcing in a very newsworthy way. And so the question, I guess, to you is, does Eric Bischoff possibly have it in him inherently? Is this something where he can sniff out the scene and decide what's needed, and then if he's got the budget behind him and the roster, make magic happen again? Or was Eric Bischoff also a beneficiary of a very unique set of circumstances that would be very difficult to recreate?
Do we even know that Eric Bischoff is, going to have that kind of control and that kind of...
No, and that's a, you're right. I should add that as a caveat, because I don't mean to get ahead on this story, and that would be getting way ahead. This is not, we're not reporting or implying that we even have hints that Eric's going to run TNA. Eric Bischoff's involvement, as far as I know, and this is a story, you know, with developments every 20 minutes, but as far as I know, Eric's involvement is Jason Harvey want to be producers and beneficiaries through, you know, whatever production fees there are of a new show on Spike TV, which we assume is going to be the Hogan American Idol thing. And maybe Spike picks up another project that they have going, you know, a bull riding reality show or something like that, you know, because they've got all these different ideas in the can. The idea that Bischoff would be actually running or in a decision-making situation or anything beyond a consultant with TNA, there's just no confirmation and no strong word of it. That said, Bruce, I think it's fair to say that hasn't been ruled out either. I haven't heard that Eric is definitely not going to do it, and I think that the fact that Eric Bischoff put on Twitter yesterday, never say never, is some sort of indication that maybe there's a possibility he will actually dive in and be very involved with Dixie in a, you know, president of TNA or vice president of wrestling operations type position. So that's my take on it. Agree or disagree with that as you will, and then go on with your comments.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, does Bob Carter play, you know, Billionaire Ted and open up the, you know, the pockets even further?
Yeah.
To finance all that kind of thing. Well, I mean, but go back to what you were originally talking about. It's a different world. I mean, there was, you know, WCW even was a lot bigger company than TNA was, and they were, you know, established known stars and people that may or may not have drawn at different times in their careers, but the wrestling fan knew and accepted as national television stars. There was a lot bigger pool of them between WCW and WWF.
You could also make the case, though, Bruce, that having already had one really exciting Monday Night War period, and a whole generation has grown up hearing about it but not getting to experience it, and then the generation that did experience it still arguably is young enough to be interested in it again. I mean, look at Flair's longevity as a popular figure. There's a possibility that just head-to-head on Monday Night in and of itself will benefit in 2009 or 2010 simply based on the fact of the legend of the Monday Night War in the late 90s, that people are going to be excited about it just based on the fact that it was so exciting at one time previously, even if all the pieces aren't in place otherwise.
All right, that wraps up the free first half of tonight's Bruce Mitchell Audio Show discussion. We'd love for you to become a PW Torch VIP member. It's $7.50 a month or less if you sign up for a longer-term subscription, and you get not only the rest of this Bruce Mitchell audio show, but my Wade Keller hotline from earlier with a lot of other angles on this story as soon as it broke, and access to the recently completed Eric Bischoff Torch Talk interview, a one-on-one, five-hour interview with Eric Bischoff that is currently being published in several installments. First couple hours available right now. We will have more in coming days. Plus, you get ad-free access to all the articles on PWTorch.com, hundreds and hundreds of back issues, not just from the 2000s, but dating back to the late 80s. We have other audio Torch Talk interviews and text Torch Talk interviews with huge names doing the longest insider interviews they have done in their careers, including Hulk Hogan himself, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, as we said, Eric Bischoff, couple interviews, one with him recently, one with him way back in the early 90s. And many other huge names, Goldberg, The Rock, I mean, on and on, Jesse Ventura, and a lot of other audio shows. We do between 50 and 75 audio shows per month, plus the VIP forum where you can interact with, I think, the best group of insider wrestling fans you'll find anywhere in the VIP forum, and interact with Torch staff and Torch contributors on a daily basis. We have VIP blogs where you can start your own blog that VIP members can interact with you on. And other archives, I'm forgetting other major things. Tons and tons. We just think we give a great value. Oh, plus, obviously, the centerpiece, the start of it all, the Torch newsletter, Pro Wrestling Torch, at 16 pages in print. We usually do 2 to 3 online exclusive pages, so we're in the 18 to 20 page range most weeks with both PDF versions of it and online text versions of it, and we've been doing that for a couple years now, incorporating PDFs into the mix. And that includes also back issues. We don't just include the text for back issues. We give you a table of contents, an article-by-article table of contents with graphics, nice layout for our back issues. Plus, we're now incorporating PDF versions as an alternative to the text versions of our back issues. So just absolute ton of material you get for your $7.50 per month. And we hope you'll give us a shot. I think now's a great time to do it with everything going on. And you can find out more about that by just going to pwtorch.com and clicking on VIP sign up. There's a VIP sign up button right underneath our main logo in the upper left corner of every single page. We'd love to have you come aboard and become a member and show support for what we do, and we think we'll give you at least your money's worth on a monthly basis. So, end of plug. Thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the first half of this discussion. We continue on with our discussion regarding this situation with a lot of other angles, including more on the head-to-head possible ramifications of TNA going head-to-head with Raw, how they would succeed or not succeed, what the odds would be. Also, Shane McMahon, how might he be involved in this situation, and much more. I mean, like I said, we only hit halfway into the 62-minute or 64-minute discussion that Bruce and I had tonight. So as a member, you can immediately check out the entirety of that discussion. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support of ProWrestlingTorch.com. And until next time, this is PW Torch editor Wade Keller signing off.